Hey. Good morning. Oh, do we have to get
Keep it
up?
down. I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. We want to make that
What are we going to
recording.
record today?
What recording?
You know, the usual.
The
We're
one
trying
about
to make a difference
multiplicity?
in the world or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just really want to help
I
people.
have no idea
I'm
what to
sure
say.
there's a lot of people out there who have really good
Why talk to
questions
them? And who need
It's
really
not
good
like
anybody gives
answers.
a shit?
Well, what makes us an
I don't
authority?
think it really matters how long we've been multiple. Or how long we've known we're multiple. We're multiple.
Welcome back, every many, to the Many Minds on the Issue podcast. We're the Chrises. This is Aliessa. We are very proud to announce that we have finished all transcripts for prior episodes. They can be found on kinhost.org. Go to Many Minds on the Issue link in the sidebar, and then you will find it on the homepage for the podcast. We recorded this episode earlier this week, and the transcript will be out shortly. Episode 25, Loyalty. Content warnings. Shame over being exiled. Friend circle loss. Betrayal trauma. Also, bullying. Fights are mentioned. I mean, nothing's illustrated, but fights are mentioned. Pressured for sex with well-defined boundaries. Mention of religious cultural expectations around premarital sex and a lack of sex education. Nothing's graphic. This is tied into a memory we were working on healing today, Monday. Trauma responses around being exiled from community and losing friends. Upshot, loyalty. Where to start, what to share, and what content notifications to put on our story. But shame lives in dark and silent places, and some things need to be aired out. Welcome to our teen soap opera. Or maybe it's a fable based on a 100% true story. Some names may have been changed to protect kids because kids are kids and kids can be such pollywogs sometimes. In 1980s Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, naming the names we need to name means nothing. Also, changing the names means nothing. This is pretty funny to us. They're all popular names for kids in the area back then. This happened in a phase of denial, amnesia, and dissociation about our sexual trauma. We were raised in a Roman Catholic neighborhood with a culture that taught that premarital sex is a sin and we ought to be saving ourselves for marriage. It was also 1980. There was no internet, and parents routinely didn't teach much about sexuality. Our education was being handed some books that were supposed to explain stuff to us so our parents could get out of it. So we were pretty convinced about abstaining from sex. Here's the series pilot episode. We were part of a little group of kids on our block in Brooklyn around when we were turning 13 years old, hanging out, talking, laughing, playing games, and so on. Dad had left, so when our mom worked late shifts, we sometimes let our friends into our apartment to continue talking and hanging out. One night, it was getting late. Kids filtered out as they had to go home. Only Ralph, a boy our age, was left. We ended up making out, then he got handsy and started talking about going farther. He wouldn't take no for an answer, so in retrospect, we're pretty sure all Marissa switched in. We took him by the ear and we tossed Ralph into the hallway outside our apartment with a firm, "See you tomorrow," and locked the door in his face. Apparently, he must have been shame-triggered. He got up extra early, beat us to talking to our whole friend group, told them all that we had made a pass at him, and that he had had to leave before we, I don't know, I guess forced something. And thus, all the kids declared us a slut and flat left us. In other words, most of the so-called friends in that group never spoke to us again. We wouldn't have said anything. As far as we were concerned, it was done. In fact, we might have started dissociating that it even happened already. Of course, everyone making such a big deal out of it made it remain front of mind. Ralph could also have come to us first thing in the morning, and we could have had a talk, but he didn't. Loss of Belongingness Part 1. That's where Episode 2 of the soap opera begins. Corey and Fernando come to our door and ask us to hang with them in the hallway. Then they tell us that all these other kids don't want to talk to us anymore, and what Ralph had said. We were, actually, pretty baffled. Autistically baffled. We don't really get it. But what sunk in was that we weren't in the group anymore. And Corey and Fernando listened to our tearful story and believed us and said they'd stick by us. Our bestie, Denise, who we'd been crushing on since we were like 8 years old when she first moved into the neighborhood, comes over to our apartment building where we're hanging out with Corey and Fernando, and she pulls us over to the side and says that she believes us, that we didn't do it, that we had kicked Ralph out, and that she'll be our friend, but only when the others aren't around. Say what? This is where we need some flashbacks to all the other kids in the neighborhood over the years, starting the summer after kindergarten, who had pulled the fair weather friend card on us. I can play with you during the summer, but I can't be your friend at school. Or, there's no one better around, so I'll suffer through playing with you. Other autistic kids are bobbing along to the soundtrack here. Are they nodding their heads or stimming? Maybe both. Let's go with that. So, our CPTSD raised its alarm bells. It said, no way. That was the sound of our heartbreaking. We just lost our longest, first girl crush. Bye-bye, Denise. It didn't make it hurt less, but we never spoke to her if we could help it again. Loss of Belongingness, Part 2. Interlude. Loyalty, Part 1. So, if you remember, our upstairs neighbor, Corey, who is still our brother to this day and won't give a fudge about being named, and that other kid, Fernando, stuck by us. Loyalty. And that's an important theme here.
Psst. Hey.
What?
Did you know we're about to break for a commercial?
Oh, yeah. Here it comes.
We are so passionate about sharing valuable content with our community. Our United Front newsletter and podcast is packed with community announcements, thought-provoking research insights, updates on our latest publications, and upcoming course announcements. Whether y'all are psychology enthusiasts, mental health professionals, or looking to be an informed client, the United Front newsletter has something for y'all. Since our newsletter comes to your inbox or gives you notifications on the Substack app, you can be guaranteed to stay informed, inspired, and connected to the latest developments in the community. Don't miss out. Subscribe at unitedfront.substack.com today to help build your internal and external community.
Now back to our episode.
Corey was our first D&D dungeon master, and when he wrote our name on the character sheet, he named our cleric sister Chris, C-R-I-S-S, spelled like that. Suddenly, we went from Chris, C-H-R-I-S, which we kept wanting to change, to Chris, C-R-I-S-S, which we all really liked and adored, and was a gift to us from Corey and Peter Chris. Corey was an avid Kiss fan. Note, our first character was a cleric. We wanted to be a school teacher, or in the helping professions, a nurse or a veterinarian. Then we wanted to teach special ed, and our first character was a human cleric because you had to be a human to be a cleric in first edition D&D. We chose healing people over anything else, always. Our brother, by another mother, Corey, may have saved our life in so many ways. I don't think he knows this. but we'll make sure he gets the message. Nothing matters like Ralph's family. So the saga continues. Ralph was apparently so ashamed of what he had done, I guess, that he continued to lie and told his cousins the story about what we didn't actually do. These cousins decided to take turns defending Ralph's reputation and virtue. Mind you, we were too young for any of this nonsense. He was our age. Lisa, the older cousin, was a 16-year-old high schooler, and her sister Teresa was maybe a year younger than us, but twice our size. These sisters would stake out different areas around our apartment house and wait around for us and pick fights with us. We got into a string of fistfights, including being terrorized one day when Lisa was outside our junior high school waiting for us. So we turned around, went right back inside the school, and waited for our mother to pick us up after work. Much to the annoyance of the school, but they didn't bother doing anything about it. So we were terrorized for a while by these two, to defend his honor, because we kicked him out of our apartment and we said, see him tomorrow. And it's a wonder we have a hard time making friends, huh? So why are we telling this story? Not to garner sympathy for the cringe parts, but shame hides in dark places, so it's important to air that out. But this is also where trauma response healing comes in. We can focus, brain and body, on all this terror, on losing the love of our admittedly very young infatuated life, being backstabbed and betrayed, or, and this is where everything changes, we can focus on the loyalty. We've had a few good cries already about the loyalty. Corey. We love him fiercely. We loved him enough to run interference and take hits from the neighborhood kids when they went after him. He's always been there through a lot of shit for us and with us. We were bigger than him. We often won our sibling wrestling matches. Of course, we defended him like the younger brother that he was. The final act, loyalty. Now we look back at all the other loyal folks in our life, and that brings us to today. We're feeling somewhat guilty because we've been keeping parts of ourselves from people because we're afraid that friends will break our heart or flat leave us or backstab us for 40 years. And that's why the story needs telling. Loyalty. It's not about Denise. It's not about what Ralph or his cousins who tried to beat us up did. It's not about those other kids. It's about Corey. It's about Steve, may he rest in peace, the first boy we dated who was always loyal, even through breakups, and proved that we could date and still be friends. It's about all the other exes who remained our friends. It's about the business friends who have stuck by us through thick and thin, economy shifts, changing our business to pursue our passion, and moving to nearly all online instead of local. It's about the loyal customers, like the web maintenance client who started with us in 2007 and still sends us a monthly maintenance fee. It's also about friends, intentional family, students, and everyone else who is willing to stand up to bullies and tell them, no, you don't know Chris's. It's about our ex-husband, who had a heart attack and surgery last week, and we were afraid to reach out, so we timidly emailed well wishes, and if you want to talk to us. And he said, of course I want to talk to y'all. And then, because of dropping masks in healthcare, he ended up with COVID from the hospital and is back in with pneumonia. We never held back anything important. We inspire loyalty because we are loyal. We're patient. We listen to people. We always help when we can. We do our best to keep our word, to be where we say we will be, when we say we'll be there. We've been hurting ourselves over losses for 40 years without fully appreciating what we have gained along the way. that's what we've been holding back. In part, this damage happened because of that other trauma issue we've been talking about lately. We were always trying to prove that we weren't a burden and that we deserved to live. We healed that about 8 weeks ago. We always thought people were putting up with us. It's been very hard to allow ourselves to feel loved or to appreciate everyone who returns our loyalty. We got lost somewhere between having been looked at as a burden by our parents and because some 12-year-old girl we were infatuated with was a fair-weather friend and broke our heart. CPTSD is so unfair. So, now we see how we've inspired a lot of loyalty in our life by being fiercely loyal ourselves, and how we have been overlooking the gift y'all have been paying us back. Folks who passed our ship in the darkness and asked for directions, who we led in the right direction, or beamed over an extensive star chart so you could continue your adventures. We don't want squealing fans. We want to continue mapping the stars and helping folks figure out where they'd like to go next. Thanks to everyone for your loyalty. We really do gratefully appreciate it, and we will continue to work to earn it with a lot less perfectionism.
Just the facts, only the facts. Okay, so 10 years ago, I'm running a women's lunch group with my bestie and working on websites, but it's not my life calling, get what I'm saying? When this super crazy fine life coach, who's flashing some big cred, says, "Yo, Chris's, I got some mad connects in the coaching world, and you seem like you're halfway there, so how about you be Peter Parker to my Tony Stark and learn to be a life coach?" And we're like, "For real?" And she's like, "Yeah." Now we're all trained up, had our life coaching credentials and clients for years, so why not take our super fresh internal community mojo on the road, one-to-one style, get it? Check out liberatedlifecoaching.com and book an appointment in our mad high-tech appointment scheduler today.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Many Minds on the Issue. Your Patreon support will keep this podcast coming. You can find more information, resources, and our Patreon link at kinhost.org, kinhost.org.